Well, as we talked about yesterday, it was certainly a lot better half for us, second half, than at first. I don't know if we can really pinpoint anything in particular, just for the overall execution level. We make a few more plays. I'll say that it's a big dramatic shift in what we were doing, but results are certainly a lot better. We got contributions. Three phases of the game, the team-wide effort. I thought the Dolphins obviously came in and did a good job early on. You know, we didn't have much yardage. The ball very well. They moved it very well. Converted third down. Put the ball in the end zone a lot of times. All that. So, fortunately, we were able to swing that pattern. Bears did a good job of showing mental toughness and just, you know, hanging in there, fighting through the, you know, whole situation. The score, the, I think the win was definitely a factor in the game, kicking game, but showed up in the passing game a little bit as well. They did a good job with the, of all those things. Then there's plenty of room for improvement. We just got to keep working. Enough things to win, and that was obviously the biggest positive.
Bill, I've got a two-parter related to your timeout in the last half minute of the third quarter. And you called it before the third down play, I think, with 18 seconds left, and it ensured the possibility of even kicking the field goal for the lead with the wind at his back and then eventually kicking off with the wind at his back. One, when did you entertain that possibility in the course of that drive and think about calling the timeout? And two, how did that thought originate? Was there a point in your career earlier as a coach where you saw the same situation and, you know, put it to practice yesterday?
All right, well, in yesterday's game, you know, we were at that point where, you know, we were in field goal range, but it was a long field goal, and I felt like if we changed ends of the field, then that field goal range might not be there, as evidenced by when we went for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter, going into the wind in a similar field position situation. So, you know, when the clock was running there, I wanted to try to give ourselves a chance, and of course, in a close game like that, the game was tied at the time. You hate to waste timeouts, because you can be valuable at the end, as we've seen many times this year. But I felt like it was worth it to be able to, you know, have a better opportunity on the kick. I mean, not saying that Steve couldn't have made it going the other way. I just think it would have been a harder kick based on the position that we're out there yesterday. So then we threw the incomplete pass, and that kind of helped us there, because had we completed the pass and not gotten the first down, then, you know, that would have been another situation, decision, whether to, you know, use another timeout to, you know, preserve that. But fortunately, we didn't have to do it. If we had to convert it, then, you know, obviously we would have then gone in the fourth quarter with the win, but, you know, hopefully closer to the, it would have been closer to the goal line at least. We had picked up the first down, and then, you know, been able to, we got him stopped. It would have been the kick that I felt better about going that direction. It wasn't just the direction of the wind, it was also a significant crosswind that, you know, all the specialists had to be. Yeah, of course. I mean, back first days, I remember watching football, playing, watching, being a part of it, and conditions are always a factor in the kicking game first, and then in the passing game. Now, I'd say one of the biggest decisions, and most critical decisions that I've ever been a part of on that was a 1986 NFC Championship game against the Redskins. A windy day in Giants Stadium. Had many of those. We won the toss, and Coach Parcells elected to take the win, which wasn't very common. It wasn't a very common decision, because, as I said, you know, you're taking the first quarter, you're not going to have it in the second quarter. But, you know, that was what he decided to do, and we were able to really take advantage of that situation against the Redskins, and we got three stops and 17 points, and had a 17-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. You know, in part due to the win, good defense, and good offense helped, of course, but field position was huge, and that ended up being the final score of the game. So that decision, the initial points, the way that the game started, really huge part of was reflected in a huge degree to that decision. Field tape, so that was a good lesson. Great decision by Coach Parcells.
I'm curious if you'd agree with the assessment that the blitz was maybe a greater part of the defensive plan in this game than we've seen in the first seven games of the season.
Well, I think it kind of worked out that way yesterday. You know, part of it was the conditions played a little bit of a part in that, but also the game plan. It looked like Miami was having more success throwing the ball on the inside part of the field on shorter throws. They're able to, you know, pressure with a middle of the field safety. Then those throws, more of those throws went to the perimeter, which, you know, were harder. You know, Alfonso and Logan and Devin and Kyle, you know, all made real good plays or right there on the coverage on the sideline. And just seemed more evident as the game went on that when we pressured and, you know, gave that look that Tannehill was going to try to get the ball there as opposed to, you know, on the inside part of the field, and it was just tougher to throw, and our guys are doing a good job of it. You know, Logan broke up the route to Clay there before the half, sideline. Kyle had one right on our bench. Logan had you know, when the ball is there, right on their bench, Anza had a couple right there on the back shoulder throws. So I think, you know, as we had success with it, it became apparent kind of what they were going to do with this, or it looked like what their plan on it was, you know, felt like that was a good option for them. As we got pressure and end up with ball for a second, a little hit them, so that helped us.
Yeah, Bill, Mike Tauscher was subpoenaed yesterday at the stadium, and so since you guys have been so close, you know, this whole thing with Aaron Hernandez, I'm wondering if you or any of your players have been subpoenaed in relation to that case.
Yeah, Albert, I talked about that at the beginning of the season, and it's an ongoing legal situation. I don't have any comment.
I'm wondering, you mentioned at the top of the opening statement that wasn't really any dramatic shift yesterday in the way things went in the second half. So I'm just wondering, how do you just determine, as you say, at halftime to kind of stay the course and have faith in the plan you developed when things haven't gone so well in the first 30 minutes?
Well, because we just didn't really feel like there was a big need to. We didn't feel like what we were doing was, you know, we weren't in a competitive situation, or we didn't have a fair fight, so to speak. We just felt like we needed to do it better. You know, sometimes you have a plan, you go in with game plan and you see the matchups, or you see their game plan and recognize that this really isn't the best thing that we can be doing here. And so then you modify or change what you're doing to try to give your team, you know, a better opportunity to be productive and make plays. And there's other times when you go in with a plan and you see what they're doing and you look at it and say, well, what can we do differently here? And kind of come back to saying, well, really what we're doing is probably the best thing we can do against this. We just got to do it better and we got to correct some of the things that we didn't do well and execute them better, but we still have good, you know, we have good running plays. We have good matchups in the passing game. I feel like we have, you know, the defenses that can handle what they're doing. We just got to play them better. We just got to do them better. And we've seen how they're attacking us. And then our players had a chance to, you know, recognize that. I don't want to say adjust to it, but just, you know, execute it better when those situations came back up again later in the game, which they eventually did. And that's, I think, big ups, you know, credit to the players that they, you know, we didn't really make a lot of, you know, new defenses, new plays, new runs, all that. We just did the ones that we did a little bit better. And that's, kind of credit to the players to make those on the field in game type adjustments and, you know, corrections.
It's just a follow-up along a similar line, but as a coach, you'd like to see the progress made in a steady, uphill manner, and it's frequently maybe resembles a stock market with its ups and downs. And how, as a coach, do you deal with that yourself, with maybe things not going progress-wise like you'd like them to see?
Well, I think that's the National Football League. I mean, that's the way it is almost every week in every game. The Dolphins have, you know, a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches. You know, they're very good at what they do too. They have guys, tough guys to match up on. So it's very competitive and very challenging every single week, no matter who you play. I mean, those guys are working just as hard as we are, have just as much talent, have the same opportunity, and they do things that cause us problems, just like we try to do things that cause other people problems. So there's certainly a punching, counter-punching, you know, type of thing, and that's part of the, you know, the play calling and decision-making in the game. You know, if you have something that's working, do you keep doing that, knowing that, you know, eventually a good team on the other side of the field, good players, are going to recognize it, put a stop to it, or do you try to move away from it and anticipate that they're going to adjust what you're hurting them with, and then you move on to something else, but, you know, then you second-guess yourself of, you know, I'm moving away from it just too quickly. And as any good fisherman knows, you can't leave fish to find fish. So, but, you know, at some point, you know, in a football game, you know, against, like I said, good teams, good players, good coaches, you know, they're just not going to let you doing the same thing forever. You know, they're going to have an answer to it. And, you know, when do you think they're going to have that answer? And when do you, you know, move to something else? When do you stay with what's successful? That's, you know, occasionally you get a few situations where it's easy and you can make that decision right away. You know, you either need to move on. Maybe they just can't, you know, match up. Every once in a while you get into one of those. But for the most part, you know, a little bit of a chess game, shifting of matchups and shifting of strengths, weaknesses throughout the course of the game. You see it every week, every game, but most games you see it. There's an ebb and flow, and that's part of it. Part of it's execution and motivation, you know, just flat out playing. Sometimes, though, it's the matchups of plays and players that that shift during the game, that affects it too. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's all.
Thanks. That's
always the dilemma. Is when, you know, and you move on from something that's going fairly well, you know, before you get it shut down.
So it seemed like Stephen Ridley was pretty productive in terms of, you know, the time he was on the field to what he produced when he was on the field. And I'm curious, when you sort of assessed his work, if that was one where you look back on and say, maybe we could have done, you know, had him on there more, or if you look at it from an overall perspective and the overall running game, which it seemed fairly effective as well.
Yeah, well, I thought Stephen ran well. I thought all three of our backs were productive, and I think, you know, Mike, when you look at the individual plays, you know, I think they all did a good job. I think when you look at the individual plays, some of the plays that weren't good, I don't think it would have mattered who the back was. There wasn't really too much to be had on those plays. And I think if you look at some of the better plays, probably no matter who was carrying the ball on those plays, they would have gained, you know, plenty of yards. So, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter who the back is, because they all, you know, they all broke tackles, they all, you know, had some good vision runs, had some good cuts, and that kind of thing. And then there was, you know, a couple times when, you know, I don't know who could have made yards on some of those plays. You know, we just didn't. A couple times we had a bad, you know, a bad play on. A couple times, you know, they did something, or one of their players was either unblocked, or we weren't able to really it get him out of where we need to get him out of, and there's nowhere to go. So I think all three guys, did a real solid job